Well, I greet each one of you this morning in the worthy name of our Lord. Grace and peace to each of you is my heart's desire. Brother Jason gave a very compelling and I was very blessed with his message a couple of Sundays ago. And it's very relevant for me this morning. If you remember what that message was, water to wine. This morning, I'm coming here like he said that he told his wife one time with a bucket. I had full plans to come with more than that. I was working, you could say, on drilling the well all day yesterday. And we used to do that in Tennessee. We used to drill wells, and sometimes you could, we drilled them by hand, and sometimes you could have a well in a couple of hours. Sometimes you could have it in a day. And sometimes it took several days, and then maybe you didn't get much water. Well, it felt like I was on one of those that just took a lot of drilling. I'm not sure why. So anyway, I got up this morning early to finish pumping the water out of that well, so to speak. And lo and behold, our heat source was gone in the house. And so it behooved me to spend some time rather than pumping the water out of the well and getting some heat into the house. So if we could just pray this morning for wine, let's bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do come before you, and we know that it is within your power to take the little that we bring and multiply it. Lord, when we think what you did with a few loaves and fishes, Lord, we do come again this morning and we pray for that. We pray, Lord, that you would again multiply that which I bring, Lord, that which I have, Lord, in me, Lord, that my body and my spirit this morning, I feel weak, and yet I know, Lord, who you are. And so I come with anticipation. I come, Lord, desiring that you would again show yourself strong on the behalf of these, your people. Lord, we do pray that you would again illuminate your word to us here this morning, that you would again use my lips, Lord, as an instrument in your hand to speak to your people here today. We desire, Lord, that your word could have free course, your spirit could have free course among us here this morning. And Lord, prick and prod and challenge and build up each one of us in the most holy faith. Lord, we just come now and we anticipate what you will do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. If you'll recall, a few months ago, I believe back in October, I had preached a message on the blessing of giving, the blessing of giving alms. And if you'll recall also, you'll remember that I was mostly through the message and didn't get anywhere close to being through my notes. And I had a few people that came to me and said, you know, something to the effect of maybe you should finish that message. And I thought with the way that I had basically scanned over the message to try to get the high points of it, it's going to be difficult to go back over and try to bring the message, the rest of the message. If you'll recall, you probably don't, and I don't blame you if you don't, the scripture that I used to end that message was this, Matthew chapter 25. But I chose the latter part of that of this scripture at that time. I went to the parable there that Jesus had given of the last day, and he gave the example there of those who had ministered to people, of the ones who had visited him in prison, of those who had clothed him, and those who had fed him, and those type of things. And that's what we have there in the latter part of the chapter. I appreciated the children's lesson this morning. And you know, that is what the message of that parable is as well. That message and that parable is that to do is what is building the house on the rock. It's not those who hear the word and are all happy about hearing it. It's not those who hear the word of God and say, "Oh, glory to God, that's a good message." It's those who hear the word and do it. It's the same as those who they feel good about people that visit people in prison, and they feel good about people who feed the hungry, and they feel good about people, and they'd love to maybe be involved in something like that, or it would seem like a good thing, but what do they do to make it happen? And the question is to me, I think part of the thing here this morning is the fact that I'm preaching to myself, and I guess I could say it like some people have said, you can listen in this morning. I'm preaching to myself because I see a need in my own heart. I do have a longing to be used of God, and I do have a longing to do and not only hear, but I do find that I feel sometimes I lack in doing all that I could. I'd like to read this and then try to make a few applications. I'll just give a little bit of what we find in this chapter. We find three different parables. The first one, we find that Jesus gave of the, we commonly call them the five wise and five foolish virgins. We find that in this passage here in Matthew chapter 25, he begins the chapter with that of the five wise and five foolish virgins. And then if you look at verse 14 is where we'd like to start here this morning, and we'll see what he says there, and then he ends it there with what I had shared earlier about the people who visited him and fed him and ministered to him in other ways. So let's read Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same, and made them other five talents. And likewise he that had received two, he also gained other two. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I have often heard this passage. I have often heard people preach about this passage, and so I know you have too. I don't know what the first thing is that comes to your mind, and I don't know whether it's because the King James Version uses talents that we always, I don't know, maybe it's not always, but most of the time when I've heard people expound on this passage, they talk about abilities. They talk about our talents and how God has given us these talents and we are to use these talents. And I think that's probably a legitimate exposition of this. I believe that that is one way that we are to be faithful is in the abilities that God gives us and to exercise the gifts, shall we say, that God gives us. I believe that's one way of looking at this passage and a right way to look at it. Could there be some more ways? Could there be other ways that we could look at this passage and it be legitimate and it be right? I don't know exactly what Jesus all meant by this parable. And that's the beauty of parables, I guess you could say, is because you can use your own imagination to fill in the blanks, to think about what it is that is being said here. In this last song that we sang, it says this in verse 2, to serve the present age, my calling to fulfill. To serve the present age, my calling to fulfill. There were people, I'll just say it this way, who served their present age and are yet serving us today. Do you know? Those who were writers, those who have things that were left to us that we can still learn from, we can still be encouraged by, we can be strengthened in, we can look at to help us today. So I see that we can go beyond the present age, but let's at least have that one where we, it says, my calling, to serve the present age, my calling to fulfill. Do you think that's only me as a preacher? Do you think it's only a selected few that have a calling to serve the present age? Or is it every one of us who was born again? I believe, I know that's the way it was for me, and I've found it in many other people. When they were born again, there is something that is born into you as a child of God that you want to be used. You want to be able to do something for others. It's something that's born into you as a child of God. If you truly are a child of God, I think you're going to have that. You're going to have that desire in your heart to do something for the present age, for your fellow man, to do something for Christ the King. to clothe the naked, to feed the hungry, to serve the king. Oh, may it all, here's what Charles Wesley wrote, oh, may it all my powers engage. That's my heart this morning as I speak to you. Oh, may it all my powers engage to do my master's will. Are all of your powers engaged to do your master's will? How much of your power is engaged to do my will, to do your own will? I'm speaking to myself, as I said. You can listen in. I am telling you that I know that it's not all engaged for my master's will. I know that there is that in me, that there is that I desire my own will still. Oh, may it all my powers engage to do my master's will. And we don't have to, you know, people go around with WWJD around their neck, their little necklaces. What would Jesus do? We don't have to wonder what Jesus did. And we don't have to wonder what Jesus requires or expects of us. We have it right here in this passage. One of the things, I believe if you look here at Matthew chapter 25, that we could say that he's giving an illustration of three stewards. Would that not be fair? He is giving an illustration. He's giving a parable of three stewards. We all, I think we've heard this enough times that I'm not saying anything that is foreign to anyone here, but we all are stewards. We talk about it when we talk about our money, or we talk about it when we talk about our possessions. We're just a steward of them. No, it's not mine. I've heard people say that, and then you see what happens when somebody tries to take it. But they have it very common, and maybe some of you have that saying, oh, it's not mine, it's the Lord's. But it should be that way. It should be that way, that the things that we possess that are considered ours, we're only stewards of them. And we know the fact is, that is really how it is, because the time's going to come when we are either going to be called up into the air to be with the Lord forevermore that way, or we're going to die and be in the grave and then be called up later. So there is a time coming when all of us, the whatever we have today is going to be gone for us. Maybe our posterity will inherit it, or some of it, or who knows what will happen. Over in Ukraine, they were living a lot like we are, not quite as well as we do here in this country, but they were living a lot like we were a year ago. Maybe I should read that to you. It was morning their time there, but night our time here. Here's what Chad Yancey says. The missile strike yesterday in Dnipro City was across the river a few miles from our base. Currently, the death toll is 21 dead and 74 injured, and 35 still unaccounted for. All of a sudden, just like that, big old bomb that is made to bring down ships was used to bring down an apartment building. The rocket was the rocket was 950 kilogram, so a 2-ton bomb missile hit the building. Cost $1 million for it, they say. They're often a few hundred meters off target when shot long distance, but there aren't any potential targets nearby. The power plant is 3.5 kilometers away, and everything around is downtown, Dnipro, if that's the way they say it. I remember strolling past these apartments on a Sunday afternoon last summer. Huge apartment. If you've seen a picture of it, you know, 10 stories or so tall. Huge apartment. Thousands of people, they say, are without a home that quick. And we know this is just one little bit of the country. There are millions, I think around 14 million just in Ukraine, that have since last February had to flee their homes. They were living in houses similar to yours and mine. They were driving cars similar to yours and mine. Today, you know where they are, or you know what has happened. Do you think that could happen here? Do you think it's possible that we could have something like that happen, or even worse? I think if you know much about nuclear weapons and the things that are possible today, you know that's possible. You know that it's possible. And I'm not here to generate fear in anyone's heart, not at all. I would rather that you see the time that we live in. And I'm just going to say it. You are, and I am, a five-talent person today. God has given, and I have no idea why, He has chosen to give every one of us five talents. What do I mean by that? Today, and let me just give you some statistics. This very day, over 40% of the global population does not have sufficient access to safe water, clean water to drink. 40% of people, that's 4 in 10, don't have access to clean water to drink. Do you? Of course. All of us have access to clean water. All right, let's go on. A new study in environmental science and technology estimates, so this is an estimate, best we can do, 60% of people don't have access to flush toilets. Do you? Two-thirds of the people in the world today do not have access. Is that a necessity? Well, I don't think so. I know a lot of people that don't have them and make out quite well. But it's something we all appreciate, I imagine. And there is sanitation involved with it. An estimated 18% of people in the world own a car. That's 1 in 5, not even, 1 in 6, not between 1 in 6 and 1 in 5. That's the percentage of people in the world today that own a car. I'm talking about households. That's what I'm talking about when I say we're five talent. We have been given. I don't know why. I don't know why God chose to do that. But I do know one thing. He expects us to use what He's given us for His glory. Look at this. That's what we're called to. It's not enough, brothers, for us to give back what we were given. The one with one talent did that. And he was called a wicked servant. He was called a wicked servant. He gave back exactly what he was given. It's not enough. It's not enough for you to say, I'm just going to give back what I was given. You need to go out, as it says there, and make some gain. You use what you have been given. And I would like to liken that to using our possessions and using our money and using our things, our time, whatever it is, to help others. I think we have done that. I think many of you have done that. Could we do more? I believe so. I guess I'm not saying that you could. I don't know. I don't know what the status is of your bank account or your livelihood. I'm not saying this to any particular person, but my calling to you this morning and my calling to myself is, am I seizing the moment? I believe that we're living in a very pivotal time. We're living in a time that is unprecedented. If I even think about my short lifetime and how I grew up and how it is today, and I know that we moved to Tennessee where folks are poor as dirt, and we were like them in that sense. But my parents struggled, and we didn't have extra. We struggled to make ends meet. And sometimes, like the saying goes, the ends just seem to keep on moving. We just couldn't bring them together. But today, and I know that some of you are probably struggling today with that, but in general, the world that we find ourselves in today, the prosperity that we find ourselves in today, is unprecedented to my knowledge. We're 5-talent servants. What that means is God expects more from us. The scripture says in Luke chapter 12, verse 48, "But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, much shall be required." If you have been given much, much is required. I don't see how we can say anything but that we were given much. We have been given much. What are you doing? And what am I doing with the much that I've been given? Is it for me? May it all my powers engage to serve him. Or who? Me. Is it for you, or is it for the King of Glory that you are engaging your powers? Let me just read the last verse on that song. "Help me to watch and pray and on thyself rely. Assured, if I my trust betray, I shall forever die." That's the seriousness, and I believe that's true. If I my trust betray, we've been given 5 talents. If we don't build on those 5 talents, we are betraying our trust, aren't we? We've been entrusted 5 talents. If I my trust betray, I shall forever die. I think sometimes you've probably heard the saying, "He was born with a silver spoon in his mouth." I'm here to tell you this morning, you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth. When you look at statistics like I gave you here this morning, and that you were born way better than the majority of the world. I mean, when you think about that, the majority of the world doesn't have a toilet. And I just kind of looked up a few things that I thought about as I was pondering this. Just a few people have a flush toilet, and even fewer have a car, their own car to drive. And all of us have it. All of us have our own vehicle. And I'm not talking about you young children, of course, but I'm talking about, you know, households. Every household here has a car. I said we're in an unprecedented time. I want you to think about with me for a moment the time that we're living in. Right now, if I choose to go to the other side of the globe, I can do it and get there in probably somewhere around 24 hours. 100 years ago, no way. Absolutely no way. However much you wanted, you couldn't do it. How about communication? Tells a little bit about my age, but I still well remember the first time I heard about email. Email? And somebody told me, yeah, you can actually send a letter. And I was trying to grasp, how is this really going to work? I mean, so I write something here, and it pops up somewhere way thousands of miles away. Somebody gets it. And today, we just take it for granted. It happens all the time. We all have it. Send a text. Pop. They have it. Immediately. Telephone, we all grew up with, maybe we didn't grow up with them, but we had access to them. We knew about them. We knew that they were there. We're living in a time. And communication, I mean, it's just amazing if you stop to think about it. Technology, I mean, we're talking about they're talking about self-driving cars, and it's a reality. I mean, it's not some distant future out there. I mean, we're talking about things that are reality. What are they fighting that war with? Drones, things that fly through the air without anybody in them. That's the technology. That's the world we live in. The wealth of today is amazing. Do you think God puts you here, as he said there to Esther, for such a time as this? I believe he did. Who knows but that God has put you and I here for such a time as this? May we make the best of the time. May we make the best of the resources that he's given us. Rather than serving big old me, serve the King of Kings with all you've got, with all my powers. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it says in verse 1, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of God and stewards of the mysteries of God." Stewards of the mysteries of God. I'd like to look at two main points here this morning. One, our financial resources. And then I'd like to look at our spiritual resources. I've talked for a bit now, and long enough, I suppose, about what you were born into financially, what type of country you were born into. Now I'd like for you to take a few moments to think about the home that you were born into. You were born into a home that 99% of the world was not born into. More than 99% of the world didn't have what you, for most of us, and there are a few that weren't born into an Anabaptist home, but for most of us, we were born into an Anabaptist home, and our parents taught us to believe the Bible. When it says in Matthew chapter 5 that, or in the Sermon on the Mount about loving our enemies, we took it to mean what it says, and they told us to do that. You were given much. You were given 5 talents. What? What are you doing with them? I would like, that is, I think it should be the goal, and I can just say this, maybe having gone to Tanzania a number of times and hearing our missionaries there and their hearts cry as they desire to reach the lost, and I've heard something similar to this on various occasions. Why aren't there more willing to come? Why aren't there more willing to give their life in this way? Could it be because we're too busy serving me? Maybe we have, instead of looking on the fields which are white unto harvest, we look at the car that we'd like to buy, or the house we'd like to build or buy, or you name it. Where are you looking this morning? What do your eyes behold? I appreciate what many of you are doing in bringing the gospel to others, whether it's at RCM. And I guess what I would say even with that, when you go there and minister to those children, don't go there, it's Tuesday night, got this little thing we always do here, and we're going to have a nice afterglow here in a little bit and have a snack with the children or whatever you might think about. But go there with a mission, with a goal in mind to do all that you can for these young souls. Think about with me for what most of them were born into compared to what you were born into. What you lived in and what they're living in today, there's no comparison. There is no comparison in what God allowed you to be born into and what they were born into. Did you choose where you were born? Of course not. Neither did they. It was given you. You were put there. It's not because of some wonderful thing that you did that made that you were born where you were born. I don't know why God chose to allow me to be born where I was born, or you to be born where you were born. But it should well up within our hearts a heart of gratitude and thankfulness. And from that heart should spring a wealth of service to the King. From that heart of gratitude should come a heart to serve Him with all our power. May it all our powers engage to serve the King. I would like to turn your attention to what, and again, it's just a verse that I am picking out here, but it's a blessing to me to think that when you're doing that, and when I'm doing that, when I'm giving my life in surrender and wholeheartedly to serve the King, to bring the gospel to others, to serve Him in whatever capacity you may be able to do it. And some of you might say, well, I'm just a housewife. Well, serve Him there in all of the capacity that you can. I've been so blessed by housewives who write me notes or bless others with whatever they have. And maybe it's just giving your life to raise up a godly seed. You have been given much too. You have been given much to serve Him. Do it with all your heart. But I'd like, as you do that, to remember this scripture. You can just tack this one into the back of your mind. Think about it whenever you're doing some task that maybe you just as soon not be doing. But here it is, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with Him, we then together as workers with Him. Are you a worker together with Christ? Are you a worker together with God? You are if you're in His service, and He's going to be right there alongside of you, working with you, because you have the same heart. You have the heart of God, and you want to do what God wants you to do. You're doing His service, and so you're workers together with God. How much higher and more noble can you get than that? In Luke chapter 12, verse 33, sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old. If you want to have bags that don't get old and pop and let the money out, to let your stuff go to waste, and that's what's going to happen for those that think they can take it along with them, those that are building up a mansion here or building up a wealth here, I would say look up higher. Look up to something much greater than that. I'd like to try to wind down here. If you'd turn your Bibles to Amos. Amos chapter 6. I'd like to give a little bit of background on this book and what the times were like for them. They were a little bit similar to what we're experiencing today. They were having prosperity in the kingdom of Israel in a way that they hadn't had it since the time of Solomon. They were experiencing great prosperity in the land. They were having nice crops, and they were having huge flocks of sheep and goats and whatnot. And God came to Amos, who was someone who kept fig trees and a shepherd, I believe, boy he was. And he came to him, and he came to him and called him out to do what he would have him to do. And what was that? It's amazing to me, an uneducated guy, someone who was out there like David with his flocks and out there pruning and whatever he did all with his fig trees. It says the sycamore trees, but I believe it was the sycamore fig trees that they had there. Anyway, that is the context, and it's about 760 to 753 A.D. is when the book is written, I believe. Amos chapter 6, verse 1. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. Pass ye unto Calneh and see, and from thence go to Hamath the great. Then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Be they better than these kingdoms, or their border greater than your border? Ye that put far away the evil day and cause the seat of violence to come near, that lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches and eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant to the sound of the viol and invent to themselves instruments of music like David, that drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Therefore now shall they go captive with the first that go captive, and the banquet of them that stretch themselves shall be removed. God called Amos to give out the warning. These times aren't going to be forever. This time is coming to an end. This prosperity that you have today is not going to endure. I don't know whether ours will or not, but I think it's likely that we will see, if we live a whole lot longer, we'll see some changes. But whether we do or not, I think the call is the same. Are we buying beds of ivory? He says, who lie on beds of ivory. And I think that what that's talking about is the luxury. They called them beds, even what they used when they got together for their meal. You know, they called those beds. Or it might have been the beds that they slept on at night. I don't know which this was. But we're talking here about luxury. Are we living in luxury? And I think we all, if we're honest, have to admit we are. We are living much more luxuriously than much of the world. Is that wrong? Is it wrong for us to have indoor toilets? Is it wrong for us to have electricity? Is it wrong for us to have running water? Is it wrong for us to have refrigeration? And you can go on and on and on. The things that we have that much of the world doesn't have. I don't think it's wrong, but we are 5-talent servants. What are we going to do about it? I titled the message, Responsible Stewardship. How responsible are you? When comparing ourselves to this parable of the 10 talents, or the three men who were given talents there, the one was given 5, another 2, and another 1. What responsibility are you showing in the talents you are given? And again, this is not directed at any particular person. It's a burden on my heart that we do what we can while we can, as much as we can. But one of the things that they had a problem with, that Amos pointed out to them, was in verse 6, that drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved with the affliction of Joseph. And I don't know exactly what Amos meant. I like his language of how he uses different things to illustrate his point. I think that's what he's doing here probably. Maybe he's referring to how Joseph's brothers, when they put him in that pit, sat down and ate their lunch. They were not grieved with the affliction of their brother. Are we grieved? Does it grieve our hearts? Does the compassion come forth from our hearts when we hear? And it's not by any stretch, it's not only Ukraine, but all of these places. In fact, there are many places that have more people that have suffered than they have there. What are we doing for the affliction of Joseph? Sometimes we have the attitude, oh, I'm only, and you put in what? I'm only a housewife. I'm only a sheep herder. I'm only this, or I'm only that. I'd like for you to raise your sights this morning and think, I am a child of God. I've been born into the family of Jesus Christ. I am a servant of the King of the universe. I have been given the Holy Spirit. I'd like for you to think about what you can, by the Spirit of God, accomplish for the kingdom of God. That's what I'd like, rather than I'm only this or I'm only that. And it is good for us to have humility. It's good for us to not rise up in pride in our abilities and what we're going to do and all of that. That is good. But also have a humble boldness. A humble boldness to go forth with everything in your power to serve the King of Kings. Someone has said, between the things that are too small for you to bother with and the things that are beyond your ability to accomplish, you actually do very little for the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, if we're faithful in the little things, He's going to give us more. Start with the little. Don't look at the things that are too high and too big for you. Don't think, oh, if I had the talents and the abilities, or if I had $1 million, I'd do this, or you name it. Start with what you have. Start with the little things. Between the things that are too small for you to bother with and the things that are beyond your ability to accomplish, you actually do very little for the Lord Jesus. So I would like to just end with that. May God bless you as you do that, as you serve a risen Lord, the King of Kings, as you serve the present age, as you, your calling, fulfill. May it all your powers engage to do your Master's will. Let's bow on our knees. Yes, Lord, we do come again at this time. And Father, oh, how our hearts long to give the service that is due to you. Lord, as we recognize what you have given us, Lord, we recognize that we have been given 5 talents. And oh, Lord, we desire that we could come with 5 talents more. That we could come, Lord, having given our all to serve the King of Kings. To come, Lord, knowing that we have done that which we could. Lord, I just pray that you would, rather than it becoming something, Lord, that brings us down, rather that it could be compelling to us, that it could be something, Lord, that would give us aspiration of what you, through your Spirit, can do through poor, weak people like us. Father, we pray that you would just continue to work among us. Help us, Lord, that rather than to be enamored with the world and the worldliness about us, but rather we could see the Spirit of God working in the hearts of people, that we could see the kingdom of God and what you desire for us, your people. I pray, Lord, that you would work in each heart of brothers and sisters here this morning, those under the sound of my voice. Oh, Father, I pray that in each one of our hearts, there could be such a passion to serve the King of Kings, to give all that our powers have within us to engage, to give to you for your service and for your kingdom. Lord, I just pray, may you be exalted and lifted up in each one of our hearts. May we tomorrow and in the days to come look for opportunities and ways that we may serve, ways that we may give to serve the King of Kings. Lord, we commit this time, we commit ourselves into your hands and in your keeping, and we desire, Lord, that you would use us as seems good to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Lord has spoken. If you keep your mind on what he has spoken, I'll give you opportunity to share just soon. I'll share what he has spoken to me. I appreciated how Brother Simon said this, and I think probably most of us could identify with him. He said, I know that sometimes it is still about my own will. Just because we are called to lead the church does not mean that we are completely different. We have the same struggles. We are all made up of the same stuff. Sometimes it is still about my own will. And the challenge he gave us was, let's give it our best to serve the King. We are 5-talent servants. If we don't, according to what Jesus said, we're going to be hearing this. Go ye out into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. All of us here stand a chance to hear that. And that should sober us. Spend eternity with Satan and his demons. That's why this message is so serious. So about 4 months ago, probably it started, maybe a little longer, we decided that it's time for another couch set. Our couches we have is a $400 set. We got them from missionaries who went to Greece. They lived in our neighborhood, Daniel and Amber. Nice couch set, but they were fake leather, and they are just peeling. We tried to fix them first, and it's just, they look pathetic. You have to vacuum the rugs every day because there's pieces of couch. And so we started looking for couches, and we found some couches here. We looked at these. One day I was delivering hay in Virginia, and there was a couch set available in Baltimore. So I swung through Baltimore on the way home. It was a factory outlet. Nice couch set. I took a picture. I sent it to my wife. She said, yeah, it's a nice couch set. Like 50% off. $2,300. And I don't know why, but I could not get myself to spend that much money. But I know this morning. How is it right for us when the rest of the world doesn't even have enough food? There's people in Ukraine today in remote villages that are going to eat one meal today, and that might be a small meal. And we are going to justify ourselves? Amos chapter 5. If the New King James reads it this way. There were those who, it says, they drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments. The New King James would say, they recline at banquets. And it's this picture that I get here of just, let's just relax. And the word that some young people are using these days a lot is, let's just chill. Let's just relax. Let's just have a good time. Let's just live it up. Punishment for the children of Israel. Punishment for us who have 5 talents if we only give back 5 talents. I'd like to open it up to you. Raise your hand. We'll get a mic to you. I know it's kind of a heavy message. Jesus came to set us free, and we can get so much more excited about, you know, Jesus and what he did. But it is good for us to think about hell. Jesus talked more about hell, did you know, than about heaven. There's a hand in the back. Brother Duff.
Came to mind that during the time of the Roman Empire, when a conquering general would come in, there would be a big parade, and everybody would be celebrating him. And he had behind him a man who followed, saying, "Remember, thou art but a man. Remember, thou art but a man." And we can hear those kinds of voices sometimes, and we need to be really discerning to understand where that comes from, because the enemy will come when we are thinking, "Oh, I can do this for the king," and he'll say, "Come on, you're just you. Come, don't make me laugh." And we hear that, and we go, "Oh, yeah, maybe I really can't." Or do we listen to that voice and say, "Get thee behind me, Satan. I'm a child of the king. I have his spirit, and his spirit is directing and giving me power, and I will resist this." We need to discern. And sometimes we do hear the Savior's voice too, saying, "Do this."
Amen. Thank you, brother. Is there anyone else? We have another hand up here. We have two mics. Please raise your hand. Brother Lee. Brother Anthony.
I keep rolling this around in my mind. Between what is too small for us to do and what is too great, we can do nothing. That's quite a challenge for me to just... And then I was thinking of the judgment scene, which we have, of course, in the Bible, where it says, "You've done these things." They are small things, aren't they? They are things we can all do. He didn't point to great things. He just said those who helped the needy around them, who gave. And so it's just an inspiration for me to realize that God is looking for just faithfulness in the small things that we all can do. And in the kingdom of God, there's nothing too small. That is not worth our bother.
It's what changes the world. I had breakfast with a young man yesterday morning from the fellowship here. And he said ever since he was a young boy, he wanted to change the world. And he was passionate about this, like, do something big. And he finds himself teaching school. But by saying yes to those people who asked him, he now realizes that is a small thing, but it's significant. You can impact so many people's lives that way. It's the small things. Brother Lee.
Yes, I would just like to bear testimony to the small things. Scripture, Jesus said, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me." And our family would just like to thank you as Living Hope for your blessings and ministry to us this past week and a half. You know, that dish of food, that meal, that prayer, that email of encouragement, that tip of, well, you know, this worked for us, or we know that of this family that worked for them. It's greatly appreciated. Especially to you, sisters, thank you. It has been a tremendous blessing to my wife. And I'm also just thankful that in these things, we are given the opportunity to give direction and guidance to the next generation. You know, our children see how church is supposed to be. Our children see our own personal sacrifices. And I trust that we here at Living Hope will be able to along with the messages this morning, prepare another generation so that Jesus, as he said, when I return, will I find faith on the earth. So may we all continue to serve King Jesus Christ.
Amen. And may we continue. Brother Marvin in the back.
Thank you, Brother Simon, for sharing that message with us. I was spoken to and very blessed. Thank you for making it real that it's not just giving back what we've been given, but it should be more. We should be producing something. I'm just blessed with the message God gave you today. Thank you.
Anyone else? Sister Jenny?
I also want to testify and bless you, Brother Simon. I believe God did make wine this morning. He spoke to my heart and what he needed to speak to my heart. But I was just blessed with the thought of the servant that buried the talent that God had given him. He did what made him his own self comfortable. That was the easiest thing. And then he could return it to his master and say, well, here's what you gave me. Rather than he was a servant, he was supposed to, the master's intention was to use that servant. And that's one thing, one part of the wine that God served to me this morning. So thank you, Brother Simon, for the efforts that you expended for us.
Anyone else? Thank you all for sharing. I just turned back to my notes on water to wine moments and wanted to remind us that in relation to ministry, God will provide for us. We can give and give till it hurts. That should be our mentality. We are 5-talent servants. And when you write your check, or when you put your cash in the envelope, or when you send your money on the GoFundMe, or put it in the offering, whatever you do, give till it hurts. The principle is that those who do it cheerfully, God will bless and he will provide. As we step into urgent needs, God provides. Whether you're on the giving end or whether you're on the receiving end, this is God's doing. What a blessing. Praise God. All right, for announcements this morning, immediately after the service, here on my left, we will have a brothers' meeting report. There is a fellowship meal to continue this conversation. Thank you, ladies, for laboring that way, and what a blessing it is to spend time together with the body, with the family.